I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Mission Zach podcast, I guess.
How strange.
A podcast where each week Mission Zach talk shit, I guess.
Look, we're trying something. Hey, if Hamish and Andy can do it, we can do it.
This is welcome to our Tuesday podcast where Mish, Zach shoot the shit and then at the end tell you what we're watching this week. For the next one, I thought it'd be fun to riff the intro.
Yeah, that was shocking.
And I thought I did pretty good in the play and you were engaging and I lost it. It went away.
No, it's okay. Hopefully people will be excited about just a little episode of us just having chit chats.
Can I have another go?
Oh, for real?
Yeah, just another go, but not a real another go. We keep all this in.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want another go. Sure. All right, here we go. Hello and welcome to the Mission Zach podcast, a podcast where two best mates shoot the shit every week. And at the end, we reveal what we'll be watching for the next episode that week. Shit, shit, shit.
Because the thing is, Zach, you should have said something about how we're usually a film review podcast.
Yeah.
And now, because if anyone just tuned into that, they'd be like, oh God, not another one of those kind of podcasts. But it's not like that. It's not like that.
Yeah. When we talk about media, I guess, I don't know.
Do you want me to try?
Yeah, go for it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mission Zach podcast, a podcast where each week my mate Zach and I get together to have a little chat. We also watch a lot of movies, but we review those in other episodes. Stay tuned for those. But today, we're just going to be having a little bit of a chit-chat. That wasn't bad.
It was closer.
That was closer. I reckon that was like a 6.5.
Mm.
That was closer. Try
you giving that 6.5. Mm. Tells me how low my one
oh,
was.
Yeah. I didn't want to give you a score out of 10, but I want you to know how I feel.
I felt pretty proud coming in hard on Mission Zach podcast.
That was great.
We haven't had a conversation.
That made me crack a little bit of a moist. I was like, that's cool.
I went, hello and welcome to, and then as I was at welcome to, I was like, well, this isn't Leguizamo Rama.
Mm-hmm.
Because... And not that we've discussed this, but I was like, but because this is not where next on Thursday, it's Leguizamo Rama. Mm. It might be Leguizamo Rama on the RSS feed. I don't know.
Hey, listeners, listen here. If you've listened to us before, you know what we're like. Usually when we release an episode, it's like 45 minutes to an hour and a half. And half of the episode is us just having a chat. And then the second half of the episode is us reviewing the movie. We got a lot of feedback. People either love the chit chat or they love the movie review.
Yeah, it was split down the middle.
Right down the middle. And I think a lot of people who love the movie review were getting a bit pissy with the chit chat stuff. And a lot of people who love the chit chat stuff stopped listening at the movie review. So we're just making it easier for you and we're splitting the bloody episodes just to see how it bloody goes. That's it. So, yes, we will be reviewing movies still. Of course, we still love John Leguizamo. We're not fucking stupid.
That's not going anywhere.
That's not going anywhere. But we just thought we would try an episode where it's just us having a chat. We're going to try this for a couple of weeks. We'll see how it goes. We'd love your feedback. But we also recognize, or maybe it's just, maybe I recognize that there are a lot of podcasts out there of just two people chatting shit.
Yeah.
But,
and there's only one there they chat about John Leguizamo movies.
That's true.
And look how well that went for us.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, surprisingly all right.
Yeah, better than I, genuinely better than I thought. And also, not great, but better than I thought.
That's true. I'm going to do the intro one more time.
All right, try again.
Here we go. Hello and welcome to the Mission Zach podcast, a podcast where two best mates chat about all things from films, media, and what they got up to this week. I'm one of your hosts, Zach. You might know me from Mission Zach's Leguizamo Rama. I'm joined, as always, by Mish Wittrup, who you might know from...
Recaps with Mission Zach. We've been podcasting for a long time, but we've never podcasted without a shtick.
That's true.
This is... Oh, my God. Now I'm nervous.
We are up Poop Creek without a paddle.
I would never have had the balls to go into podcasting just doing this.
Yes.
Because who the fuck would want to listen to this? But what we've done now over the last 5 years of podcasting together, 4 years of podcast, we've manipulated our audience to believe we're interesting. So now some people are just listening to us.
They just listen to us like they're just having a listen. And I think this is the thing in our mind, to those listening who are going, it's not the same Mission Zach. It is. We're going to record both as one. In our mind, we're doing exactly, this is the episode of the review we're about to do. But I always just want to find out what Mish has been up to.
Mm. And also we did find that when we watched a really good movie, we'd rush the chat a bit, and I didn't like doing that.
Yeah.
There was often like a pressure to get the chat to stop before a certain period. There's a lot of reasons why I think this could work.
I'm all in.
All right.
I'm all in. Mish, I want to talk to you about indoor plants. So, see, look at this. I'm like a radio producer now.
You got a plant.
I'm like on ABC radio. Mm. You know how they're driving in to do their drive time talk and they go, what the fuck can I talk about today? You saw that in real time. I was like, we're untethered. We are free to talk about
whatever you're currently decking out your place.
Decking out.
And you're sending me photos of the things that you're buying. And yesterday you sent me a photo of a fetching plant.
Yeah, I only send it to a few people because, you know, everyone has plants. And the whole point of things like plants and lamps is you're not meant to talk about each thing. You're meant to just have it there and it looks effortless.
Mm.
But, you know, there's a few friends and family where you go, I just got a cute plant. Yeah. Do you like my new cute plant? And I did. I got a cute new plant. I really like it. They said it'll survive without too much light. But I wanted to talk about indoor plants.
All right, go for it.
Do you got any?
Yeah, I think I have an indoor plant in most rooms of my house. Nice. But I don't do a great job of maintaining them. I water them when they wilt.
This is my fear. This is what I was afraid of.
No, but see, I've seen your place and you can't not see every room of your house.
It's a little
so close. You will always see them wilting.
Yeah.
So you'll just, it's right there and you're drinking a cup of water. You just go over to it, you dump your water in there.
That's what I'm
I carry a water bottle with me like most places in my house.
Mm.
Well, that's not true.
Ladies love a water bottle.
I have access to a water bottle. So if I'm having a sippy and I walk past my office and I see that my office plant is wilting, I'll just pop in and pour half.
There's so many people listening right now going, fuck, they would have been talking about a John Leguizamo movie right now. Now I get to hear about their plant watering.
People have opinions on this shit, though.
On plants?
Yeah. I have something I want to talk about. It is a movie.
Oh, yeah. No, go for it.
It's nothing to do with plants.
But it has
got to do with water. Water.
Good link.
The link is water.
Go for it.
I watched a movie on Prime.
While drinking some water.
While drinking some water. No. Called Deep Water.
Oh.
It's Ben Affleck and Ana de Armas. Of course you've heard of this film.
It's their erotic thriller.
Yeah.
It got like buried. It didn't happen.
That's right. Now.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Now, listeners of our pod or anyone who knows me knows I am obsessed
with
an erotic thriller.
You love an erotic
thriller. It has to be a very specific kind, but generally speaking, I love the spectrum of erotic thriller, right?
Me, I'll tell you about my love. I haven't yet.
In particular, early 90s. Late 80s some, but early 90s. And I love an erotic thriller horror from the noughties.
Yeah, you love a 2000s.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
everything's blue.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And everything's like lots of different shots, lots of strobe lighting.
They just discovered color grading. Oh, everyone was trying to be traffic.
100%. So I love a sexy thriller. But I haven't seen a really good sexy thriller in a really long time. And we unpacked this in previous episodes. And I like had a little come to Jesus moment when I realized that I think the reason is because porn is so accessible now.
Yeah, yeah, that's my
because theory. We watched a movie called Revenge back in the day, which was Madeline Stowe and Waterworld guy.
Waterworld guy.
What's his name?
Waterworld. It's Kevin Costner.
Kevin Costner. Thank you. And they just fuck in that movie like hard fucking porn fucking, right? Mm. And they don't make them like that anymore.
They don't make them like that at all.
No.
So I'm about to reveal, Mish, I'm about to reveal for an astute listener.
Yeah.
They're going to, I'm not going to reveal. I like to fuck. No, an astute listener I'm not going to tell you on the podcast if I like to fuck or not. You're going to fuck. And a shit listener will be able to now figure out, based on what I'm about to say, how far ahead we bank Auntie Donna podcasts. Mm-hmm. Because I'm about to say the podcast I recorded earlier today with Auntie Donna that won't be out for months. They'll go, oh, they record very far in advance for Donna. Mm-hmm. And also, you'll see how disorganized Mission Zach.
Yeah. Because we record and she out 4 days later, son.
We are basically doing live radio, right? but we were just talking about it. I don't know how it happened. It was a very Donna riff, but we got to movies you've jerked it to.
Oh, I love that. Why wasn't I there for that?
Because it was in the middle of.
That is like, if you had thought of that, promise me that if you had thought of that, you would have said, we've got to get Mish on for this.
It was not a plan. We were talking about cereal and I was eating cereal off mic. It was a weird episode.
Movies you've jerked it to.
And
that's so funny.
Because it's actually a very rare thing. Like I've not.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Many films.
But I think one of the, like, surely, I'm guessing, I've never jerked it to a movie.
No, you can't.
Well, no, but you've never had a mass.
Have you ever diddled to a movie?
No, never. I don't think I've ever diddled to a movie. I've had sexual encounters with people while movies are on.
That's a fair point, yeah.
Yeah, but that's, so there is a particular movie. I'm not going to say what it is. But
no.
Not that it would really matter, but there is a particular trilogy.
Oh,
that is very, I can't watch it now
like
without blushing a bit.
Like it's a bit Pavlov's dog for you? Like it kind of gets you going a little bit?
No, it doesn't get me going. It's just the memories. I can't
Pavlov,
watch it.
Like it's a little bit like you salivate in the mouth when you
hear
the bell.
I just remember that it happened. Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, have to tell me the movie.
I'll tell you after. Not that it matters. Why is that the thing?
No, that doesn't matter.
Why am I like, I'm not going to tell you the movie, but I fucked during a trilogy?
Unless it like came out like in the last year.
No.
Lord of the Rings?
It was a long time ago.
Lord of the Rings, Star Wars?
No. It's one of my favorite trilogies. You know it. I know you know it. I'm sure I've told you this.
It's a trilogy. It's one of your favorite. Oh, Back to the Future?
Yeah.
That's weird.
This is so inappropriate.
It's so funny.
Yeah. So, but the whole thing, because it was on television.
That's a marathon session.
Yes, it was on a marathon.
No, for you, like.
Well, no, it wasn't like I went for fucking 6 hours. I'm saying it was a date, like an at-home date. Why? This is so personal.
And this is what happened. It's a question that brings it out of you. Because I had a movie. I was talking about my, like.
Your movie experience?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, he came over. We had dinner at the start of episode of the first film. And then, like, I remember it was like, it's time for bed or, like, bye or something when the credits are rolling for the third.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Anyway.
All I was going to say, well, maybe.
And there's nothing sexy about Back to the Future, but it's hard for me to watch it now without thinking of that.
I only could think of one movie that I jerked it to.
What's that?
It was just, like, really, there's a funny joke in that. Could have thought of a funny joke.
That's a great podcast. Yeah. If you can get enough people on.
Well, the problem is it's just going to get, our generation will all be like, I can't remember the name, but it was on SBS.
Oh, yeah.
And that was me. It took me a good minute. It was a Spanish erotic drama from the early 2000s that my sister used to work at a video store and she got it as like an advance copy with something else that she wanted to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like this one thing. And it was before porn, before. And that's the thing about erotic movies. Now, I would watch that movie and be like, oh, that's very sexy and I love the plot. But like when you're 12 and there's no internet, you're just like,
oh, yeah.
Anything you can find.
Erotic fiction, like books. Find, like, when you come across like one of those at a bookstore and you're like, oh, I should have been reading. Anyway, I stumbled across Deep Impact. No, Deep Impact.
Deep Water.
Deep Impact gets me wet.
Nothing like Lily Zabeski.
Keep running from a tidal wave to really give me the horn.
You know, we all got our shit.
No, Deep Water, right? I stumbled across it.
I keep thinking of Dark Water, like the one with the. I haven't even seen it. It's Todd Haynes. It's what's his name from Spotlight? The Hulk.
And it's Tom Hardy. No, that's not Hulk.
Hulk.
Ed Norton.
No, the other one. Beautiful actor.
Eric Banner.
I'm saying Rufus Sewell. That's insane. Mark Ruffalo.
Oh, yeah.
It's about Mark Ruffalo doing an Aaron Brockovich.
Oh, Dark Water. Oh, yeah. Wait, yeah. You mean the Jennifer Yep, John C. Reilly's in it.
Oh, wow.
I haven't seen this either. I have to watch this.
Yeah, it's an incredible cast, great director.
It's on Disney. Yeah. Oh, I'm Fox screenshotting that immediately. Yeah. Anyway.
But that's what's so funny. I keep thinking of that movie.
So Deep Water, right? I stumbled across it while scanning movies on Prime, trying to find something to watch.
Yeah.
And I read the description. I was like, oh, you have got to be shitting me. I was like, this sounds phenomenal, right? I was like, phenomenal for me, by the way. So again, if you've not listened to us before and you're just like, what is she fucking talking about? But no. All I care about is entertainment and I love a sexy thriller, right? And it's brand new. Like it came out very recently. And I was like, it's not brand new, but it came out very recently. And I was like, fuck yeah. So I like scheduled the watch. And I was like, okay, so I sat down getting ready to watch like a new sexy thriller.
Yeah.
And it was horrific.
Oh, like, amazing.
There were parts of it that were just like bizarre for sure. But it was just like, this is what it felt like. It felt like they'd written a really good sexy thriller. New Age, like they'd been like, let's bring back the early 90s sexy thriller. But we've got all this amazing, like, yeah, I mean, our cameras. No, wait. It's like, we've got this incredible sexy, Ben Affleck's on board, amazing. We'll make like a 90s sexy thriller, but also like we now have better cameras and we have better access to cinema. Like the cinematography can be used so much differently now and we'll shoot a modern film, but it's a 90s sexy thriller. And they're like, great, and got Ben Affleck, cool. Apparently Ana de Armas wants to come on. Sorry, what was that? Ana de Armas, she's keen to come on. Ana de Armas wants to come on. Yeah. All right, I just need to do a quick rewrite. Let's just write this female character with absolutely no depth at all. If you remove her character from that movie, her character is wife of Ben Affleck, loves to fuck lots of men. I'm not giving anything away there. That's her storyline.
Tends to be.
Has no job, no friends, no other interests outside of fucking young men. Like, it's just horrific. And she is naked the whole time. Like, all the time, so, like wild.
That doesn't sound so bad to me.
She's got wild fixations on her mouth, feet, and nipples. They're always popping up throughout the movie, and it's just like I could not suspend my like reality.
Your taste. You saying this?
But see, if that came out in the 90s, if it came out in 1991 and it was starring Madeleine Stowe, who was in all, or like Sharon Stone, and the lead male actor or whatever was like Harvey Keitel or something like that,
yeah.
I would be on board. I'd be like, oh, absolutely. But now it was just like, oh, come on. Like, and she's a great actor and she's beautiful. But also, like, it just... It's hard to believe. It's just hard to believe. That's all I can say.
Oh, right. It is hard to believe. Can I ask a question? Two questions about this movie.
Am I making sense?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, great.
Two questions. First question is...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Was it worse than the sexy thrillers of the 90s, or was it the same and you expect more from a film made now?
I think, it's like I said, if it was made in the 90s, I'd probably be on board for it because it's dated and stupid.
Yeah.
But it's like they were trying to say something.
Right.
That's what it is. In the early 90s, they weren't trying to say shit other than women are horny and men are powerful.
Yeah, women are horny and they'll ruin your life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what they were trying to say. Whereas this movie is saying that women are horny and they'll ruin your life, but also let's try and like make this some sort of like psychological discussion on like marriage and toxicity and stuff like that. And it's like, no. That's just you got the hottest woman that's ever lived and she's willing to just get her tits out constantly. It was just like her and Ben got like.
I love this. There's something so funny. There's a sketch in this of just like you talking about how bad it is.
And you just getting the wood?
Yeah. No, not getting the wood. The idea of someone then in response being like, oh, yeah, no, that sounds really bad.
Where did you find this film? Where did you find it?
It was so bad. The most beautiful woman in the world was naked the whole time.
But also,
there wasn't a single shot that wasn't her beautiful naked body.
But I love a titty in a film. Yeah, don't get me wrong. Yeah. I can appreciate a titty.
No, I get it.
But it's just, this movie was just, if you take Basic Instinct and you look at Sharon Stone's character, there is something really delicious about the vapidness of it almost. Do you know what I mean?
There's like, something to chew on.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's almost like a, in those movies, there's no sense of being offensive.
Yep.
There's no third wave of feminism in a bad way.
Yeah.
But then what the actress gets is a character that they can fucking have some fun with.
Yes.
And now, rather than get a woman in to write something really sexy from her perspective, or rather than write a woman that is, rather than take that character from Basic Instinct, just as evil, just as fascinating, and make her more complex, more fun, giving her depth, they just soften all of their edges for fear of creating. So then it becomes a nothing character.
Yes.
And so if this movie had come out 20 years ago, it's as offensive but less fun.
Yes.
Second question.
Yep.
Second question is, everything I just said was a question mark to the, your yes. Second question is, was the thriller element, because you say it's a sexy thriller, was the thriller element tied to the her having sex, or was it a separate kind of thing?
So this isn't giving anything away.
No, no.
Because you could literally read this as the blurb on the back of the DVD. Basically, they're in an open marriage, meaning she can sleep with other men. He has given her permission to, but he doesn't like it.
Ah.
But he's so in love with his wife that he's willing to let her do that.
Oh, yeah.
And she does it. She kind of tortures him with it a little bit and kind of like gets off on his jealousy of the whole thing. But he's like, he says he's fine with it because his wife is so beautiful. That's the other thing. It's like, everyone's like, your wife's so hot, man. Why do you let her do this? He's like, because she's so hot. Like, essentially, he's just obsessed with her because she's so hot.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he lets her, but he hates these men that she's sleeping with. And she kind of becomes friends with, and she brings them over to the house and has dinner with them and flirts with them in front of the husband, then takes them into the bedroom and has sex with them.
Yeah, right. So he's a cuck.
Yeah, well, no, he doesn't like it.
No, I know.
But he, or but then it's like, but does he? You know what I mean? Yeah, like, he's not leaving.
Yeah.
But also, but then he goes up to these men and basically says, hey, if you don't leave, I'm going to kill you. And then the men slowly, like a couple of the men die.
Right.
That's
and the, then it's like, did he do it? Hey, that's kind of, in a 90s thriller kind of way.
Oh, my God. You read that blurb and you're just like, oh, yum, yum, yum. That's going to be my new fave. And I'm not a Ben Affleck fan, generally speaking.
He's fine.
But also, and another thing that kind of bothered me, and I know it shouldn't because literally you can't watch a movie where this doesn't fucking happen, but he is 51 years old and she is 25.
That's no good.
Are you okay?
That's no good.
No.
No, it's no good.
Sorry, you were just looking at the technical elements of our podcast.
Yeah, no, because I'm recording. Tom's not here, as you can hear, so I just had to look. What I had hoped and trusted is that you would cover while I did that.
Oh, sorry, I thought something was wrong. But no, he's 51 and she is 25 or something, or 26. Yeah, no,
why do they keep
doing that?
Because she's hot and new and he's established and famous.
Maybe she's 30.
Yeah, but still.
Still.
Still. Just yeah, it's
not believable. And they have a daughter in the movie. It's like, that's not believable. I mean, I guess it kind of is believable.
Give her a Ryan Gosling, but he's even 40 now. Give her a
Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah. I'd love to once see it the other way around.
Yeah, where that's not the point of the story, that she's older.
Give me a Chalamet and Monica Bellucci.
All right.
You know, why not?
Yeah, why not? But it would have to be something that's not discussed. It can't be a topic, you know what I mean?
Just do it.
Just do it.
That was like when, I think Monica Bellucci was a Bond girl for a film. Maybe it was her. Mm. Maybe it was someone else. I think it was her. And people were like, people kept saying to Daniel Craig, they were like, oh, an older Bond girl, a Bond woman. What do you think about it? In the interviews, and he was just like, She's the same age as me.
Yeah, she's a year younger than me. She was one year younger.
He was like, literally, she's my age.
That's like, so funny.
And, like, and it was like, we don't have to get into it, but it's just like, I think nothing of it.
Yeah.
It's Monica. It's the most beautiful woman in the world.
What I would love, though, is all your sexy thriller recommendations, because I think I may have exhausted them, listeners.
So I just, because that was what I was going to say was, sometimes a sexy thriller is, the way the thriller and the sexy exist together is kind of key to the sexy, you know this better than me, is key to the sexy thriller. And sometimes you can't have the thriller be too much about the sexy, but you also can't have it be too not about, sometimes it's like, this is just a thriller with sex, but it also can't be too, and I thought maybe that was the risk, that it was too much about the sex stuff. But what you described,
it was too much about how hot Ana de Armas is, which again, I'm sure everyone's just like, wow, that sounds awful. and just like, just this unrealistic, it just felt very like an unrealistic portrayal. And that's fine, because sexy thrillers are about unrealistic relationships and whatnot. But this was trying to not be that.
It's the way, it is just, I think as soon as you talked about her being boring, that it was like, that's the rub right there. It's like, I think about, what was that one where J-Lo played the stripper? Hustlers?
Hustlers.
Where it's like, yeah, that's progress. In storytelling, it's not about doing a scene where two women talk about something else just because you know the internet will talk about it. And it's not about giving the female character who structurally does nothing, giving her a couple of sassy lines.
Mm.
And it's not about making women perfect. It's not about like rewriting characters so they have nothing. It's about making interesting, complicated characters.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you do. You can do it for a man, do it for women.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. It's like, this movie was about two people, the husband and the wife. And the husband got all these complexities and these like interesting moments and real insights into his psyche and his life. And his wife, who was equally important to the film, had none of that. She got nipples.
Yeah, and it's...
Nipples and a couple of tantrums. That was literally it. And I think that
it's,
they were trying to be something that wasn't what it was.
It's something that camp understands is irony, right? There's something like when you think about what is camp, it's the ability to go... this character is sexist, and you can write her a million different ways. You could get a female writer in to do a rewrite. You could do anything you possibly want to this character. It will always be sexist. So the only thing you can do if you want to tell this story is be ironic, is to push her, A, give the actress something fun to do, and B, push it into the space of irony, or gender flip it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other thing you could do. You could tell the story of a woman who has a husband who's fucking other people.
Mm.
Then you get lots of beautiful women in the story, plus it's an interesting, complex story. But no one thinks like that. Everyone's just like, maybe make her more boring.
Mm.
That's a shame. And look, I'll check it out.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there having listened to this going, what was it? Deep Water on Prime? Sounds horrible.
Just to get my opinion of it. Hey, Mish, I got a question for you.
Yeah, mate.
What did you watch this week?
Oh, what's something fun we watched this week?
What's something fun you watched this week?
Oh, I've got one.
I've got one too.
I watched the limited series on Netflix called Baby Reindeer.
Oh, okay. Tell me about that.
Oh, it is really good.
Yeah, yeah.
So it stars this guy named Richard Gadd, who is a comedian. It was a working comedian. I think he, like, you know, he did a bunch of Edinburghs and stuff, and I believe he won Edinburgh's Best Show in like 2017 or 2018 or something like that. And it was with this limited series, a show called Baby Reindeer that just went nuts, right? Everyone was like, it's the best show ever. And it's his true story about the time he had a stalker. But it's
I heard of this show, actually.
So it's a traditional stalker story. It's really interesting and it's written so well. And the two lead actors, Richard Gadd, who plays himself, and Martha, the woman who plays Martha, who I don't even know her name, which is horrible, but they are so, and they have this incredible chemistry together.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just, it's fucking funny and it's dark and it's just, I've never, you know how everyone's like, all the stories have been told and you kind of just hear a bunch of Romeo and Juliet's and you hear you're kind of constantly watching different West Side Stories or you're constantly watching different Wuthering Heights, that kind of deal, right? I've never heard a story like this one before.
That's awesome.
It's really interesting. And I love them together. And there's a female character. It's like, I want to play her. I could have played her. It's really annoying because I'm watching it and I'm like, you fuck, can't. Why couldn't he have been an Aussie that I was hanging out with in 2018? But it's so good. I highly recommend it. When I say I didn't have high hopes, I didn't expect anything. I wasn't thinking. But my partner was like, let's watch it as like mindless stuff that we can watch before bed. And we smashed out like four episodes in one hit. And it was just like, that is so good. Highly recommend.
Yeah, I'll check it out. My one is, it's also a current film thing. It's Civil War.
You've been telling me about this.
I loved it. I loved it. I loved it so much. I think you should watch it. I think it's one of those things where it's had such a big marketing campaign around it that a lot of people, you know, when you go in to a movie and you're expecting one thing and 99% of the time it's not what you were expecting and that disappoints you, even if it's good, you're just like, it wasn't what I was expecting. I had this experience where I went and watched this film and I was like, this is nothing like what I was expecting. Tonally, what it's going for, what it's trying to say, nothing like I was expecting, and I love it for that. It's just so much more interesting and complex.
Oh, great.
And like, it's just a completely different movie to what I was expecting, and I really, really liked it. It was it's also very cool because it's like a $50 million movie. That sort of thing doesn't exist anymore. A24 has found the money. They've made a $50 million movie. And it's got Kirsten
Stewart.
No, the other one.
Dunst.
Kirsten Dunst.
Oh, yes.
Kirsten Dunst in it, and she's just off doing promo. Like, it's like how they used to do movies. And it's like, for me, what I love is it's this $50 million movie from an interesting writer-director who's got this interesting idea, and then they've gone, all right, yeah, cool, we're going to market it a little bit different to what you've made because that's how we sell it. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the last time I think that really worked was Magic Mike, where it's like, and it's just, I really think you should watch it because I thought it would be a bit more sci-fi. Because do you know the story? It's set.
Yes.
Yeah. I thought it would be a bit more of a science fiction in a way, but it feels like it's set now. It feels like it's just like a tiny little bit of time in the future, but there's nothing about it that's like alienating. It's not about politics in the sense of left and right, that you don't know who the president, what party the president is a part of. It doesn't matter because it's a story about these four people.
That's great.
It's. I really want you to see it. I'd say see it on a big screen. It's genuinely, like, I don't know, time will tell what it is, but I just think these sorts of movies at the budget they need, this would get made for $5 million now usually, but the fact that this movie has been made with the budget it needs, such a rare treat, and I think it's really
That.
Look at us both having really great little media moments.
Love that. Hey, Zach.
Hey, Mish.
I reckon this is the point in this podcast where we tell you what it is we'll be talking about in our next episode.
And I'm so excited about this one. We felt that, you know, considering this is the first time we've split an episode in half, we wanted to really give those that wanted to watch along an opportunity.
Well, that's another bit of feedback that we've gotten from a lot of our listeners is that They want us to tell them
in advance
what movie we're watching so you can watch along with us. So, hey, your wish is our command.
Very exciting. Very exciting. Almost drum roll, please. You're about to hear the movie, and please do go watch it because we cannot wait to talk with you about it on Thursday. Mish, what are we watching this week?
Okay, so this week we are watching Fish and Chips. The movie, a 2013 animated film that can be purchased to rent on YouTube. That's all we're going to say.
You thought it was going to be Chef.
Yeah.
Joke's on you, cunt.
Who was chomping at the bit for Moulin Rouge just then? No. Fish and Chips, the movie, 2013, starring a John Leguizamo, can be rented on YouTube. That is
also
how we watched
it. You don't have to.
But you don't have to watch this. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. We'd love to hear what you thought.
Yeah, please give us your feedback on this little new split. And we will see you in the next episode talking about fish and chips.